Lord, help us to hear from you and to listen to you, to obey you in Jesus' name. Amen. When Jesus went up the mountain to pray, it reminds us that prayer is a central part to his life, and that prayer is not just something that we tack on to the day. I have often treated it like that. You may have too. But rather, prayer is central to the personhood and mission of Jesus, so it must be central to our life as well. Amen? And as he's praying, his face changes, and his clothes became like lightning. This was a revealing of his true nature, fully God, fully human. And of course, the humans always saw him as a human, but when they went up the mountain, his disciples looked at him and they saw him. You're not just human, you're also fully God. What a beauty, what a sight. And in his company was Moses and Elijah. Moses represents the law. Of course, you may know the story when Moses was up on Mount Sinai. So this Transfiguration's theme is reminding us of these two men had encounters with God on a mountain. Here's Moses. When he was on Mount Sinai, God gave him the law. And as he was giving him the law, the people down below the mountain were building a golden calf because they thought this guy is gone. We need to make our own gods. Even Aaron was encouraging them. But God said, I'm going to go down and destroy them. But Moses mediates. He stepped in front and said, no, please don't do that, Lord. I'll go down. So he goes down and then he slaughters his own people. You know that story? Pretty gruesome. Not all the people, but all the people who were sinning. And then he goes back up the mountain with God and he says, show me your glory, God. And God says, you can't see my glory, but I will pass in front of you. And I'll hide you in this cleft of the rock, but you may see my back. And so he does that. And then he sent Moses back down the mountain with a mission to bring Israel to the land that he promised as God's holy people. And he commissioned them to be obedient to the law into the land of Canaan. So Moses listened to God and he was changed. As he came down the mountain, his face was radiant. Not like this. Wonderful sight. What if I walked around like this? You wouldn't be able to look at me. That JD is always so happy. No, he was actually glowing. So much so that he had to put a veil over his face. Maybe it was something similar to Jesus' transfiguration, but definitely not to that level. Elijah represents the prophets. He had just shown up the prophets of Baal when God's fire came down and consumed the offering when he called on the name of the Lord. But immediately following this, he was afraid of Jezebel, this queen. And so he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And then he went back, he went into a cave and spent the night there. And then the word of the Lord came to him. God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm hiding. Excuse me. And the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And just then there was a wind that tore the mountains apart, but God was not in the wind. And then there was an earthquake that shook the mountain, but God was not in the earthquake. And then there was a fire blazing, but God was not in the fire. And then there was a still small voice. A whisper, if you will. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face. And he went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. A great wind, a great earthquake, a great fire, and yet it's the whisper that makes him shudder. God was present. And he asks this question again. What are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you hiding? And he gives the exact same answer. All the prophets have been killed, and they're going to kill me too. So dramatic, so desperate. But God gives him hope and a mission. And so he listens to the voice of God, and he is changed. He's transformed. And so all is made manifest again on this mountain at the time, at this time, in the person of Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. And Jesus' divinity is on full display. The veil is lifted. Moses saw God's back. Elijah heard God's still small voice. But Peter sees the radiant face of Jesus Christ in all his glory. Hebrews 1:3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. So these three are talking, and then Jesus talks with them about his departure, his plan. And here's his departure. It's not just his death, though that's part of it. It's not just his resurrection, though that's part of it. And it also includes his ascension, his departure into heaven from where he came. And talk about a transfigured face on a mountain, shining clothes. But look at this transfigured face of Jesus, bruised, beaten, bloody. And he died. But when he rose from the dead, he appeared to Mary, he appeared to the disciples, and on one occasion, he even appeared to disciples who didn't even recognize him, this normal face, until he broke the bread, and they had an aha moment. It was Jesus, and then he disappeared from their midst. Jesus' face was normal after resurrection, and then he ascended into glory on the mountain, departing from the earth from his disciples, just as he had planned. They discussed his departure, but Peter said, no, let me make shelters here. I want to make booths for you, tabernacles. One for you, Jesus, one for Elijah, one for Moses. And then a voice came from heaven. This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Very similar to when Jesus came up out of the water from John the Baptist after baptizing him. And the Father descends, the Holy Spirit descends as a dove, and the Father speaks, this is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. This echoes Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. Listen to him. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. This is Moses talking. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. It's pointing to Jesus. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. Do you receive the words of Jesus? Very simply, here's how we listen to Jesus. We must believe his words. And when we must believe that he's alive and he still speaks. Now, you may not hear his voice audibly, but you can pick up your Bible and you can soak in Scripture, devour Scripture, consume, feed on Scripture. And you can be in prayer and listen to the Holy Spirit, who will speak words of life to you, words of love to you. However, if you think that God is speaking to you and it's against Scripture, it's probably not God speaking. Pray for a spirit of discernment. We must believe his words, and then we must trust his words above others. How many voices are there in your head? Now you may say, I'm not crazy. There's no voices in my head. But really, how many voices are there? How many do you allow in? What you read, what you listen to. Everyone's got a podcast these days. I was thinking of starting one myself. Just kidding. Everyone has a social media account. Everyone likes to share their thoughts. And for some reason, we like to read those thoughts and judge whether their thoughts are correct or not correct, and then share our thoughts because we think we're correct. Whose words, whose voice is in your head? Trust his words, his voice above others. Who has the truth? And who can help us discern truth in the midst of noise and chaos? The still small voice of God. This is my son. Listen to him. And we are to love his voice. I remember 2006, John Mayer was coming out with his new album, Continuum. I was into guitar. I was into his music. And I waited till midnight. That's how times have changed. I waited till midnight to go to the store in Jackson, Michigan, because I was at college in Spring Arbor. And I went and bought his album right at midnight, and I came back to my dorm room. I put it in my computer and listened to it on my headphones, and I just was enjoying it. I was loving the music. I loved his voice. I loved his guitar playing. That's not exactly the same. It's more like this. When I was dating Brianna, I had to wait till 9 p.m. in order to call her because I got free nights and weekends. I paid $35 a month for free nights and weekends and 100 minutes throughout the month. How times have changed. But 9 p.m. would hit, I'd hit call, and I would hear her voice and enjoy it so much. And she'd hear my voice and enjoy my voice, maybe as much, I don't know, hopefully. Thankfully, we don't have to come to Jesus on at 9 p.m. at night for free nights and weekends. But we can approach him at any time and love his voice. To sit in prayer doesn't mean we have to say anything. It could just be sitting in silence and say, God, I'm here to be with you. This is how we listen to Jesus. Believe his words, trust his words above others, and love his voice, love his commands. If you need to practice that, I encourage you, go to a quiet place and pray. You don't have to go up a mountain, though it sure helps. Right, Ryan? Ryan loves to go on mountains. And so Jesus changed. He was transfigured. Listening to Jesus is the way for us to be transformed right now. And it is the way for us to be transformed forever in glory. There is no other way. Where else can we be saved? Who has the way of life? Where can we draw water from the wells of salvation other than Christ himself? It's my friend Dave Nicholson, his wife Jennifer Nicholson. Jennifer died last Saturday. I announced that last Sunday. Yesterday was her funeral. As I was preparing for this sermon, I began thinking about her. She radiated God's glory and love. Always happy. This was her face all the time. I was joking about this, like this. She was always that way, but in a beautiful way. She loved the Lord. She loved people. She loved children. And testimony after testimony yesterday at her funeral, people bore witness to Jesus in her life. Oh, really, she was in Jesus' life. And this is a picture of them at First Church serving, most likely on a Thanksgiving meal. I found this picture. Dave's just as goofy as she is, and he'd laugh. Listening to Jesus is the only way to be transformed. And that transformation lasts forever. As soon as she died, she was transformed. She'll be given a new heavenly body she's with the Lord. And Jennifer's life reminds me that life is so short. Death could come at any moment. At the same time, as we're living this life, we're to listen to Jesus, but we do so also because we know that someday he's going to make us new, make us whole, make us alive in ways that we could never imagine. And that's a hope that we have that no one can take away. This gift of life, this gift of resurrection that's to come. I know there have been people in our church that have been dealing with some heavy stuff. And I'm not saying hold on because heaven's coming, but I do want to say this is not all there is. There is greater things to come. In the meantime, listen to Jesus. Be still. Lent is coming up. This Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. I encourage you, I challenge you, be still and listen to Jesus. Father, we come before you and we bless your name. We want to hear your voice. We want to be obedient to you in every way, not because we have to earn our salvation, but because we're saved and we believe you are the one who saved us. You have the words of life. Where else shall we go? We love you. Lord, thank you for showing us that we can be like you. Not like the serpent said, eat this fruit and you'll be like God. But you said, come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me, you'll do even greater things than these. Come follow me, be part of my family. Be my children. Lord, we want to be yours. We love you. We love your voice. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.